You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Potecha deza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akulaisen Madiba's Radio.
Lalele I Madiba's Radio.
Lalele Madiba's Radio.
Niko checheredza Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
Molweni nonke, namkelekile to the Call Out Podcast. And of course, it's your host of the most, back once more. I go by the name of Karabo Daniels. And of course, I never go alone. I'm with...
Uvu Yisanani, we're going to charge you your daily dose of sugar. Don't take me in too many doses because you might have diabetes. Hey, it's... so nice to finally have Karabo back.
She
even came in with a new tech today.
Look, I have to come back and spice things up, obviously.
Okay. And it's Heritage. And it's Heritage Month.
And it's Heritage Month as well.
How did you spend your Heritage Day, actually?
Actually, I was in bed the whole day.
That's Heritage, dress right up. There.
That's Heritage right there. Like, exactly. Kanene ungum ni wena put.
Ndingukhaya usuthu mzangu janani uhlaba ngomkhonto. Ah uzongozi.
Okay.
Wena ungumni mama.
Nahe ke musuthu but ke ndingumxhosa kakhulu andingumsuthu. Naki mukwena mukwena wangikupa nintho ya meeting sibupuwa sami.
Ashu.
Halitsatsi lithelela naki abu.
Hey, yeah, yeah, but go.
Tim Gelo.
Well, it's raining. Me, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm a crocodile.
Oh yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Ah man, guys. Drop in the comments on our Instagram. Just nizthuthe. Tell us what are your thakazelos and all of those beautiful things, man. It's just things we love to see. And I hope you everybody out there actually enjoyed their heritage. I was actually at an event at Coffee. We're having a heritage celebration there. It was really good. It was happening during the day. No, it wasn't a night thing. I was just there. Had some few Imbongis come in. Poetry performances and singing, dance, and cultural activities.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Beautiful stuff. But what do we have in store for us today, Karabo?
So, Visanani, today we will be diving deeper into the Mkhwanazi case, and we'll also be talking about, I'm sure you've seen on the socials, we'll also be talking about the new law that husbands can now take wives' surnames.
Crazy work.
Yes, but we'll obviously take a deeper dive into that later on into the show. So what do you have in store for us regarding the Mkhwanazi case? I hear, Sana, and I see, I've been reading, seeing on television that, it's a lot.
Actually, before we jump into the Mkhwanazi case, let me throw a curveball at you because I have something prepared.
Okay. Should I be scared?
No, you shouldn't, actually. The viewers should be.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, actually, you know, first of all, I got a call from one of the viewers personally.
Oh,
I got a call and they were like, you guys there, the show was amazing, but you guys are thrashing the DA. You guys are thrashing the no.
Ooh,
and I understand, and I'm taking a stand now to apologize and say, as much as we try to be objective, but sometimes our personal feelings do turn to get in the way.
Yeah.
And I genuinely apologize for that and will seek to be more objective because I want to mention the good things that DA has actually done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got Cape Town. Cape Town is a robust place and it's doing economically, it's doing really,
very
really well.
Foreigners as well go to Cape Town. It's a nice tourist, like, you know, tourist destination. Thank you so much, Visanani, for also apologizing on my behalf. And yeah, I would also like to once more apologize if it has offended anyone out there. You know, we never mean to offend or do
and we take jabs at everybody.
Will get a jab.
Everybody.
You know? No one's safe out
Oprah
there.
Oprah Winfrey.
Exactly.
You get a jab.
You
know, we're trying to be as partial as we can be. Or is it impartial? It's Hoa.
But it's heritage, ne? It's heritage. Tata lento, lento safe.
Zamunga tata macala bethu nale yabo. Nesingabingo macala sibe siqonde kumuntu wonke yabo. But then with everything that's going on, we want to tell the truth, and we can't censor that truth in a matter of speaking. So yeah, if we see something wrong, we will speak it out. If we see something good, we will speak it out too.
Whatever it may be,
that's all there is to it. Yeah. But speaking of parties and different party groups, I got a chance last week to dive into the SRC elections and see what's happened. Because I don't know if you guys have not heard, but 8th and 9th October, there's going to be SRC elections that are happening. So we want everybody to be there and actually vote. Let's participate in such things. So specifically, I got to go to EFF SRC elections. So they were choosing who is going to run for presidency, who's gonna be their chosen person to run for SRC president as the current president.
Before you continue, may I interject? So does anyone get to attend these kind of events? Can anyone go? Like, I'm asking Gyeongoku, like, on behalf of the viewers, maybe they want to attend and see this themselves as well.
So, as an employed person by Madiba's Radio, I get special privileges to go into such events. Okay. You know, I just say, Madiba's Radio. Mm-hmm. And they're just like,
radio presenter.
Come in, sir. You know? So,
privileges.
There was no food there. I was like, I'm kidding. Specifically for this one, because it was an internal election happening within the EFF.
Okay.
So, other person outside the EFF was allowed to get in and participate in the elections. But as I said, jokingly,
media,
mm-hmm. I was just in and out, in and out. I'm allowed. So basically, I don't know if you've seen the video recently where EFF members were fighting.
No. Like,
throwing hands.
No.
Proper.
What happened?
So That's what I'm trying to
get into.
So I've titled this article, "Can a House Divided Against Itself Stand?" So SRC elections went underway, and to no one's surprise, the drama has unfolded in a particular fashion, and particularly within the EFF party at Nelson Mandela University. The party in itself is divided, right? So there's the EFF YC and the EFF CS. EFF Youth Command and the EFF Student Command, I believe. So basically what's happened is that you have two parties within one party, and the other people are favoring this other guy and the other people are favoring this other person. So who are these people in question? On one side, you have Olwethu Tauka and Mutsweli Gwenya. These are two SRC candidates who are going to be voted for. But the thing is, one person, they have their own little branch and faction within the EFF, and one person has their own little branch and faction within the EFF.
So there's like a division.
And obviously, it's natural that people have that type of division. The problem is when the altercation happens physically. To such a point where if you're going to go into election season now and you have two party members fighting each other live on recording, then people send it out on Facebook.
I really want to vote for this party
anymore?
I see why it can be viewed that way. Oh, that's bad.
So, but then I want us to take like this graphical scope and draw where the EFF Student Command is, or previously known as the Youth Command. That in itself, the party within the university seeking student government has two different names, two different branches, and two different leaders. You know, and who, when I interviewed, I talked to them personally. They share the same, which is crazy, is that they share the same ideology, but they have just different ways of achieving the same goal. So I actually got to sit down and speak with them, and I will play the interview of them later on.
Okay.
In the context of the SRC candidacy within the EFF, the two leaders personify the divide in the party. You have Mutsweli Gwenya, a radical, consciously aware leader who, for the most part, though odds are against him, has managed to rally up troops and to vote for him as party candidate. And then his counterpart, Oletu Chauka, he seems as if he's the golden child, the chosen one of the party, a diplomatic, charismatic leader who seems to have a deep passion for not just politics, but the people he wants to serve. So when I got to actually interview and talk to these two gentlemen, they seem like people I would vote for, you know, at a human level, because they seem like people who actually care, right? Mm. Okay, fine. But you have to look deeper. You have to look, okay, what is really causing this divide? Like, what is going on with these people? Like, on the surface, these two leaders, much like the faction built within the party, seem to contrast one another, yin and yang, black and white. But if you look through the microscope, you will find that there's an actual divide there. You find that people use their own ideological campuses as a means to decide what to fight for and when it is right to do so. Now, on the 12th of September, as most of the political audience would have seen, an explosion in the conflict that I mentioned about. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to put in part that this. So let's say there is red and there's a blue color, right? You as a person, you like the color blue. So when you will choose to say, I'm gonna stick with the color blue, and me, I'm gonna stick with the color red. In all of this thing, we, even though we are both under the under colors, we are going to fight because I want this and you want this. This is basically what's happening within the EFF. Even though they are under one party, they still are choosing favorites. Mm. And when you choose a favorite, now, but I, finally, you know when children going through a divorce, yeah. It's like, yeah. I want mama's child. No, I want dad. I want to go to mom. Mm. I want to go to dad. So like the child is choosing dad and the other child is choosing mom. But then when the two children are together, which is the actual members of the EFF, when they're together, they're like, no, mom is better. No, dad is better. Oluwatu is better. No, Mchanet is better. And then they have that type of altercation. Mm. So that's really been a problem. So for me, I actually asked Oluwatu about this, and this is what he actually had to say.
The personal level.
Oh, yes.
What is your relationship with him?
Yes, yes. So we have a typical comrade relation, mm. right? We are not friends. Mm. I'm not going to lie and say that we share a meal every day. we sleep on the same bed.
Yes, yes.
It's not like that. But we share a comradely relation where from time to time we engage. I have his number, he has mm. my number. So it's politically related.
Mm.
It does not go up, it does not go beyond the political parameters.
Then what comes into play with the display that happened last week, where it builds up into actual physical altercation between the breaking of the two branches? What happened between there from your part, when as from your perspective, in a sense?
So I also had to analyze the situation from a video perspective,
mm.
because I was not inside the venue.
Mm.
So I think had I been inside the venue, I would have been able to answer this question properly.
Mm.
But now, unfortunately, I was outside. I only got to know that there was a fight when I got home around 11 p.m.
Mm.
I'm like, when did this happen?
Yeah, yes,
so
yes,
I'm not sure of what have transpired and what made, mm. What sparked the fight. Mm. But I'm hopeful. In fact, I'm not hopeful. In the previous meeting that we had on Tuesday, mm. on Monday,
mm.
the two people that were fighting, they reconciled.
Mm, okay.
The guy went to the other person and they spoke. Seemingly, they exchanged numbers and they shook hands.
Mm.
There's a video of that, meaning that was not a personal thing. Perhaps mm. it was a thing of a moment.
Mm.
So I want to understand it like that.
Do you think you could ever find yourself laying hands on your election candidate's counterparts?
Never. It will never happen. It's just politics and it ends there for me.
Okay.
The EFF has taught us discipline, organizational discipline, mm. revolutionary discipline.
Mm, mm, mm.
So we appreciate the contestation of ideas, contestation of power. That is what makes a democratic organization alive. Had we not had such characteristics within the Revolutionary Party, mm-hmm. we would have been a church, or would have been a SASCO, the one that is dead now. So the EFF is a vibrant, militant, radical youth movement. So we appreciate all sorts of characteristics of democracy. Of course, the democracy must be guided mm-hmm. by the party policies and revolutionary guidelines.
Thus, here's my last question. What do you expect from here today? Are you confident in you being elected? And be honest with me here. Take what you were thinking now, put it aside. How do you actually feel about the elections?
Well, you know, when you have been to many conferences, mm. you really don't share the same sentiment on every conference, you know. Mm. I've been to many conferences where I came out on top. Mm. So even today, I'm not shaking. Mm. I'm 100% confident that we are going to come out on top. We have the confidence of all members of the EFF mm. command. We have the confidence of all students of Mandela, by the way. Mm. But unfortunately, today they are not going to participate because this is an internal party conference. Mm. So within the party, I'm confident that the general membership is going to choose wisely. If it's me, we will go home and rejoice. And then if it's not me, we are going to rally behind the leadership that has been elected and support it with 100% energy.
I will hold you to that. You heard him here. He said he will radically be there and supporting if he doesn't win. We will hold him to that. I am Vuyisile Nomchacho from Madiba's Radio, The Call Out, and I am with
Oluthu Tlaoka from the EFF.
Comrade, thank you.
Again, I want to say thank you for him for actually giving the opportunity to interview. Ironically and sadly enough, I can't play Mutshwele's Ngwenya's interview because there was so much noise behind him. Because in the place that we were in, his party troops were already there singing Amakwijo and everything. And they were like, fighting and everything. So it was a beautiful actual thing to see. So I don't know if you're following me. So as you can see that these two different people are being voted for candidacy within the EFF. But then very rarely in politics do leaders stand alone. Even with Cyril Ramaphosa, Thabo Mbeki, Nelson Mandela, all of these people that you classify as leaders, they never led alone, or there were people behind them backing them up. It's the same thing with these two people. You have, what I saw is that you have powers that are behind them that are basically influencing their decision making. I'm not saying they're puppets or anything like that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you have factions within the faction. So you have this one mastermind behind this candidate and this one mastermind behind this candidate because they want political favors. So this is my thing. How do you think, Karabo, that people, how do you think that as people, they should navigate actually choosing who to vote for when they don't know that there are bigger powers at hand?
Before I answer that question, my question to you is, okay, so you've told me all about these two candidates, right? And from what I'm hearing, I stand to be corrected, correct me if I'm wrong, from what I'm hearing is that one candidate is basically, okay, from what I know, Ne, is that EEFF is one political party.
It is.
Therefore, everyone should fall under e values the EFF.
It is.
Nen don the EFF. Mm-hmm. So, and we are not going to go to the city law, who push into your kitchen, law, who push into your. Aren't they supposed to be doing this in unison?
That's my problem. Mm. They are, right? They are.
But they're not.
That they're not. They have the same manifesto. But then, one side is saying that, listen, basically, what Mr. Ngwenya is saying is that Oluwethu's part She's already played his part as a leader. But then he's saying that, listen, you are being supported by somebody else. You have all of these things, and you have all of these favors, right, within the EFF. And what Oluwatu is saying is like, listen, bro, we don't even know you. You haven't participated in the EFF. The people who are rallying behind you aren't even members, which is actually what happened on the voting day, because where they were voting to, they were choosing who they're gonna vote for, and then what happened was certain members of Mr. Ngwenya's troops, they weren't allowed to vote because they're not members of the EFF.
Well, let's take it back. Mm-hmm. So earlier on, you had mentioned that there were two candidates that fought. Is it these two that were?
No,
No. I was like, hey, you know, with GPV, because it's male and female. Like,
no, it's male and male. The actual fight was male and female. It was a woman and a guy.
Like fighting physically.
Yeah, the girl lunged over to her.
Don't lie to me, no, guys. The girl lunged over. Women, we cannot be out there fighting.
I am serious.
Men, we cannot be out there fighting. Guys, I do not condone fighting at all. Me personally, ingaske sihlale phansi sithethe, sincokolele, let's resolve this without fighting. Let it not, you know, mayingabikho semanqindini, guys. Masihlale phansi kuthethwe and then resolve whatever issues we've got going on. Oh my gosh, Buisanan, that is crazy. You have to show me that video.
Well,
you have to.
So basically, when Mr. Ngwenya's troops got into the building to actually vote, they weren't allowed to vote.
Because they're not members.
Because they're not members.
Oh my gosh.
They have to actually show slips that prove that they're members. Mm. So it was, but then what Ngwenya was arguing is that, No. This his counterpart did it on purpose because he knows that his troops won't be able to vote for him, and if he has more votes, he's obviously gonna win.
Obviously,
you see. So it's just a very it was a convolution of many things. But at the end of the day, they did actually vote. People were allowed into the venue, even though there was a scuffle because we stood there for about like 3 hours.
And you?
I'm telling you, I was.
What's Salah now?
Journalism.
Londo, you have patience. Booty.
Journalism.
Yo.
Journalism.
Oh, no more.
Kat even stayed longer than me. She stayed probably 4.5 hours because I had to leave him now. I was like, hey, I have a 5 a.m. morning.
And there was no refreshments whatsoever. Guys, I could never. But you know, it's I'm sure it's very nice and eye-opening as well, and very educational to attend these events.
So much.
For sure.
Because I was speaking to the people who were there and I'm asking them questions. Some of them were actually leaders who were smart about what they said and what they didn't say. So it's like you're really trying to cozy up to people and get them to have a conversation with you, and you're there like you're trying to probe them. Then finally they trust you and they actually talk. So for me, it was a very good field experience in that sense, where you're like just there like, oh, you think that about this person, and there's some things that I can't even say because I haven't proven them, you know what I mean?
It's honestly, just thoughts for now.
It wasn't even thoughts, but there are things that they said that this person did this. This person did this.
But you can't say them.
I can't say them. Okay. Because like that would be unfair and just a disregard of evidence.
Of evidence. Oh yes. You know okay, that makes
so
sense.
So now I'm just stating what I saw with my eyes and what I actually can conclude and say this is happening and this is happening.
This is happening.
You know
well.
What I mean? But there were so many things that were like, what scandalous things, but obviously it's politics. Everyone has a scandal, whether EFF, DAA, ANC, all of that. That's just the nurture of things. So I'm really interested in covering other parties within SASCO, DASO, everybody. Uh-huh. And we will have these little segments leading up to the elections. But basically, I'm going to cut this article short and say they actually did get to vote. And Oluwatu Chauka won.
Congratulations, Oluwatu.
He's the SRC candidate who will be going up against DASO
and
other parties. So I'm really interested.
Congratulations to the EFF.
I'm really interested in seeing what's going to happen. You know, I'm really interested.
Same, actually. It's really interesting.
Who's going to actually win? Because it feels like the world is torn. No one is actually sure about, hey, I'm voting for Daso. No, I'm voting for Sasko. No,
people are still a bit unsure.
Same thing that happened with the
GNU. So I think that, you know, this is how these political parties can prove themselves right. Mm-hmm. Campaign right. Do what people want to see happening. Exactly. You know? So, guys, if you are in the executive of any of these political parties, now's your chance to show yourself, Sana. Like, show up and be there. Show the people what they need, what they want to see. Tell them what they want to hear, and so on. Because I know, and I was speaking to a friend earlier on this week, whenever you Sanani, and they mentioned into the very same thing that you're mentioning to me right now. They don't know. They don't know what to vote for.
Exactly.
You know, they're like stuck between
rock and hard place.
Exactly. You know. So I really think that now it's time for, you know, these political parties to, you know, just show up and show off. You know, show up and show off, and then people will be sure about, okay, you know what, I mean, they've really proven themselves. I think, for example, Zavoteli Sasko, you know, for example, Zavoteli EFF, you know. So, otherwise, we stand anywhere now. Where is your heart leading to?
I'm actually biting into this cat's philosophy about having an independent leader.
Independent leader.
Yeah. So
what does that mean for those of us who don't understand?
So that someone is going to run for SRC president, but they don't have a party at all.
You can't allow that.
Yeah.
Guys, that's how I say.
Even in South Africa, you can do that. Yeah, but no one's ever done it.
So, like, for example, me, I can run up for president. Go
right now. You can run for
president. But I don't have a political party.
You don't need a political party to run.
But it's just like we're so used to someone having like being a leader, president of whatever political party. Like, we're so used to that.
So
I never knew that.
Ironically, let's say there was a TikToker with money. That TikToker could run for presidency. Why am I mentioning a TikToker per se?
Audience.
Because they have audience.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
If they're doing the good things, the youth can see them. Let's say they have 15 million followers, just purely South Africa. Okay. Let's say they have 8 million purely South African youth followers. They could actually win the elections.
I never knew that.
I'm telling you.
Why don't you run for president? Me and the audience. The listeners back at home. Guys, talk to me. Sanani, we're right behind him. Budi, run for president.
Guys, give me a few years and then I'll decide. But I'm pretty sure I would never.
Okay, stick to your word, Gebudia. We will remind you a few years down the line, and we will tell you about Buti. Well, Tekamandi, this is a podcast. We'll just go back to.
But if I'm running, you should also be there.
Never.
Why not?
I feel like I don't really. Politics use a lot of. Sorry to say, but. Manipulation of some sort.
It's only manipulative.
You are, we said, you are, no offense, but you are very manipulative. You know why I'm saying this, Nem? You can get people with just words and like speaking. You don't even have to do action yet. You can get people to favor you. I don't know how you do it. And Yen's in sense,
I don't know what she's talking about.
He's laughing. That means he knows what I'm talking about.
I genuinely don't know.
He knows it.
It's not even about getting people favor or like whatever, or manipulation, but it's just genuine. When you're being real with somebody, because I don't feel the need to fake myself, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't feel the need to fake myself. Mm. I'm just me. I'm talking to you.
Mm.
That's people feel comfortable.
There's no front.
There's no front here. There's no masking. Mm. We're just talking to each other. That's what I found. I don't need to mask. You don't need to mask yourself. I have flaws. You have flaws.
For sure.
I'm a person. You're a person.
We all have imperfections.
Let's just talk. And then people naturally just talk. Because, ironically, it's not even manipulation, it's being real. You know, once you're able to be real with people, people are real with you. And if you're being manipulative, people will see and run away. You know what I mean? That's all.
Okay, now that you put it that way, I understand. I guess.
But politics is a very dirty game. with for my sure. faith and with me, it's like still an internal battle. It's not even an internal battle, but it's like a thing of like, I don't want anything that's gonna kick me out of heaven, guys.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You asked me why don't I run? I feel like I don't have the heart for it because we are Kubeka Street. People bazokunika nge train da bazako, and I'm very shame now. I've got a very small heart, and I take everything that anyone says to me too hard. I'm a softie, guys. Aww. I'm a soft girl, so I do not think I would fit into the political world. I deride.
Maybe we need politicians like you. That have empathy.
But people are going to walk all over me.
You learn to be a shark.
A sauce. I'm not a gangster.
You learn to be a shark.
And
a
sauce.
So what's happening on your side? I want to say, before we close this little segment off, people, let's go vote, please. Make sure and just go vote and just go at it. And let's see what's happening, because the future is in your hands. That's on Celsius. The power is in your hands. That's on Celsius. Hi, guys. The Maplin Ambassador. Very, very soon.
But yeah, man, just to add on to what we suddenly said, please do vote. Even though, like, maybe you're unsure of which party to vote for, just go with whatever your gut says. You know, maybe you could be making the right choice and you could be helping change the world, you know? So your vote counts, people. So please do vote. Yes, so Vuyisanani. Buti. I don't know if you've heard about the new law in South Africa.
It's in the law.
So South Africa's Constitutional Court has ruled that husbands can now take their wives' surnames, marking a significant victory for gender equality in the country. Alala, 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 bafazi. Alala, bafazi. So...
What?
Gender equality. I am so happy.
How is this gender equality?
It's gender equality because tell me why ekuqaleni only wives were taking their husband's surnames. Like, what is the reason behind that? If you know the reason, please tell me.
I love this. Because ndikusaphi, I'm taking you to my family.
Okay.
So I'm taking you out of your family. And I'm like...
But why can't I take you out of your family? No, in my gift, I'm actually trying to understand, and I'm sure there's some listeners as well, there's some audience that want to understand, why was it a case of, why was it a thing of, rather, the wives take the husband's surname? Why was it done that way?
It's not even a cultural thing. I think it's like, because everybody does it across the world. Right,
and then it was normalized.
It's not normalized. It was just a part of being married.
But why? That's what I'm trying to understand. The why is my why kwaqali zingabi equal? Okanye, why couldn't it be husbands taking wives' surnames?
I think I won't pretend like I am broadly. I have knowledge about this certain topics in a matter of the cultural aspect of it. But then I will talk about it, not even religiously, but like spiritually, how I would see it, right? In a matter of like, when you are taking a wife, right? You are basically not only taking her to yourself, right? Like taking her to your ribs, basically. Like, hey, let me marry you. You're my rib. You are the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh, right? But then it's a matter of like, listen, I'm not only doing that, but then here is also my name. Take my surname, because I am going to love you and I'm going to honor you. You don't no longer belong to wherever it is that you belong to, because we're making a new household together. It's me and you. We're making a new household. So by two, we're in this together. And whose surname should we take? We should probably take mine. Because it sounds cooler. But I'm being serious. In a matter of speaking, is that, listen, I'm cleaving onto you and you're cleaving onto me. Let's have one household name and let's do it and let's push it together. Now, suddenly there's a change in that, and there's people are saying, listen, no, let's have women. I'm not against it. I'm just saying I don't think I would be able to change my surname to the woman's surname.
Why so?
Because it just doesn't make any sense.
How?
Why should I?
Why shouldn't you? You know,
before I answer that.
Me, personally, and I'm going to tell you why. Me, personally, obviously, we all, this is just like a new law that has just been introduced.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're familiar with the wives taking the husband's surname. Mm. So I feel like, okay, those who know, but I'm very scared of change. Whether it be positive change or negative change. I'm scared of change. I do not like change whatsoever. I hate change. Mm. I hate when new seasons are coming in. I hate a new month. I just hate change. I hate doing a new hairstyle. I think I just get too comfortable, you know, and that's like something I'm currently working on. But I hate change. Me personally, I wouldn't let my husband take my surname. I would take my husband's only because of the reason that I hate change. So that's my only reason. So what is your reason of not wanting to take your wife's surname?
I will say something that's going to get me cancelled.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
If we send any...
But
I'm just don't say it.
No. Here's my thing. I'll be personal about it in a matter of speaking of like, for me, it would feel not even demasculating, but it would feel out of hand in a matter of speaking that me personally, right, as a husband, I don't know about y'all, right? I don't know about anybody there.
Speaking for himself.
I'm speaking for myself right now, independently. As a husband, right, I am marrying you, not because you need to be provided for, but I am marrying you to take care of you, to be your husband, to be your comfort, to be your pillar, to be your man. You know what I mean? Like to be a man in your life who's actually evident, who actually takes up the role and the space of what a man is, whether it be physically, materialistically, whether it be spiritually or be emotionally. I am taking up that space, right? I am taking up that space that you can say, baby, you know me, I got you, I'm your husband, right? Now, for me, if I'm taking your surname, I feel like that takes away from that role. It takes away from that beautiful relationship that we're trying to build.
So you feel like if you take your wife's surname, you wouldn't be able to do all these roles or play out all these roles? Is that what you're trying to say?
Personally, yes. Okay. I would think to myself, wait, what is my surname again? What? Nah, it's just incredibly...
Mind-blowing. It doesn't feel right. I get you, because it's new, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
So people just still need to get used to it.
It's just mind-blowing in a sense where it's like, it's not even a thing. But then for me personally, it's a matter of like, what? You see, this is actually my problem. Thank you for making me think about this in a deeper sense. To me, my name is attached to my manlyhood, to the fact that Ndingunomtshatsho, I've seen my dad, Engutata, who is a husband to my mother. And that, to me, I've seen that role being played. Not even played, but then I've seen that role. My dad has never missed one single day where, hey, my dad has disappeared now. You know what I mean? Like, I can say Ngutata Nomtshatsho, and I know it, and I've seen how prideful my mother is to be called Mama Nomtshatsho. And I grew up around that family dynamic. And if I'm around that family dynamic, it's the same dynamic I want to cultivate. Am I conservative? Yes. Because I know that I want to lead a household where I am actually leading the household and have a wife who's not subservient to me. No. Don't get it twisted. Don't get me wrong. But we are actually leaning towards each other's strengths, because that's what a marriage is. If I am taking my wife's name because I am being pulled by the ear, or there's a certain power dynamic that's happening there, then there's something wrong. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Then there would be something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If there's a power dynamic, there's something that you need. You don't really want to change the surname. If you want to change your surname to your girl's, go for it. Mm. It's fine. But then if there's a certain power dynamic that's happening, then as a man, how do you expect to lead that household? Are you leading that household? You know what I mean? So it's a, it's so I'm a siolo balaban ngoku. Siolo balumjit. Crazy work. If I get cancelled, I'm blaming you, Karab.
No way. No way. What did I say? Anyways, this decision was made on September 11th, 2025. It confirms a Free State High Court ruling and declares parts of the Births and Deaths Registration Act unconstitutional. Now, what does this mean, Vuyisanani, for couples?
Mm-hmm.
It means equal choice. Both spouses can now choose to assume each other's surnames or combine their surnames after marriage without any gender-based restrictions. So how would you feel about hyphenating the surnames, like combining?
No.
Is it still a no?
No.
Can't do it.
No. Yes, because in Kete, na na amujena.
Ah, na you Kete ile. Kete na na kuise names galog.
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I feel like ne. As much as I hate change, I would like settle for combining surnames.
You already have a double barrel. You have a triple barrel. Whatever.
Oh
whatever.
My gosh. Yeah. I like complicated. I like being unique. You know. Even if I had five surnames, that would be so great. It's authentic, man.
I don't know. It feels like there's a change in dynamics that's happening around the world that I don't like to see.
Ne? Do you think so?
Yeah.
I think I get why you can you think that and you feel like that.
It's the same thing that women complain about. They're like, oh, there's no longer men anymore. There's no longer men that lead. There's no longer men that like are like providers and all of those things.
Can I ask you a question? It's your choice whether you answer it or not.
Okay.
Respect you.
Hey, man.
Do you feel like you are a man that leads and you are a provider? Like, do you see yourself as that kind of man?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you feel like you're a man that just goes with the flow? By going with the flow, what I mean is whatever the wife says goes, or whatever decisions that both of you make goes. I don't know if you get me. Do you need me to further elaborate?
I think I get you.
Okay.
In a matter of speaking, here's my thing. I said this, I'm very conservative, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that? I mean that, like, there are certain constructs that I love and abide by. I can't be out here talking about some, no, we're not gonna do this, baby. And that's not being a leader. When you're being authoritative, you're being insecure, you're being... That for me,
controlling as well.
Controlling, you know what I mean? That's just insecurity.
Yeah.
Real masculinity is, hey, baby, listen, there's this thing that's happening right now.
What do you think?
I want us to do this. Do you trust me in us doing this thing? Yes, I trust you. And if we fail, I will take accountability for that.
Because you're the man.
Because
and
I'm
the man.
Exactly. I will take accountability for my shortcomings.
No, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? That's all there is to it. I feel like now, if we are taking away from that, you will end up eating the fruit, Adam.
Oh, we're taking it back to the Garden
joking,
of Eden.
I'm joking.
We are taking it back to the Garden of Eden.
That was a bad joke.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, so we are going to move
Wait, before we move on.
Oh, he doesn't want us to move on.
What type of man do you want? The going with the flow or a leader?
Mamela Apakesana. I am not going to answer that question.
Reason being
is that I don't know if you've seen, but there's... Do you watch TikTok?
There and there.
But Gekuko's videos is trender. You got TikTok, whereby a TikToker asks the public questions. Like you go up to a person and you ask them, I don't know. Like this is just an example because I forgot. Like so, yeah. So Abu Zekele TikTok about how much can a man spend on you on a night out? So this is just an example. Mhlambe umnyathi 100k a night and so people trend because of their responses to the questions, you know. So I would rather not answer that question because of those reasons. Because people are so judgmental out there, they don't even know why you're saying whatever.
But you put me in the hotspot and I'm possibly going to get fired after this episode.
Oh, guys, petition for me. Like, it's our 7th anniversary, guys.
What do you petition for me?
So, what is your question? Let me answer it. But guys, please, you guys don't know why I'm saying why I'm saying my answer.
Do you want a man that goes with the flow, or do you want someone who's assertive and
leads? I want a man that leads, for sure. Mm-hmm. I want a man that leads, because I don't know if it's just me, my girlies out there, hopefully you understand, but mna, like, I don't know, you know, let's put my brain to sleep. When I have to go to work, when I have to what, you know, because I see myself as like a businesswoman. I see myself having my own little, my own little surgery, because I'm an aspiring neuropsychologist studying psychology. Dr. D. So, yeah. So, and then when I'm around him, if it's get, he just switch off.
Relax,
you know. So yeah, I want a man that leads, for sure. And I also want a smart man. Like, I cannot be with someone who is incapable of thinking and making decisions. As utata wekhaya, as intloko yekhaya, funeke uzenze I decisions. Sibone ba, hayi man, utata ekhaya nyandlu, uyabo. So, yeah, that's, yeah.
Oh, Mr. Karabo, oh, Mr. Tswane Daniels, Wako. Hopefully, he can be all of those things for real.
Hopefully.
Tell us online what type of, not even what type of man that you want, but then what are your comments about changing surnames, and what do you think? What type of dynamic is going to bring in the households of these different families?
I honestly feel like there's going to be a lot of changes in gender roles as well, because of the, you know, surnames changing. There's going to be a lot of changes with gender roles as well. You might I don't know. This is just what I think, guys. Yeah. This is my own personal opinion. It's movie. It's Netflix, you know. So, exactly. So I'm very dramatic with my thinking as well. I'm a very dramatic person. So I personally think that if I lobola my husband and he changes his surname to mine,
If I say that, I'm done. I don't even believe in those gender roles per se.
Really?
I don't.
Same. I feel like...
I don't.
Actually, but as I mentioned, it's movie. We are going to it's Netflix. But I also feel like in my household, I would... Not Kengoku, like in my normal household, which is, my normal household is, most I told you that I would want to take my husband's surname. In a household like that, which is mine, this is what I'm envisioning for myself now. I'm speaking about myself. I would just, like, as you know, as a wife, I don't mind cooking. I don't mind doing the laundry. But now in dinner, because both busy, we both work. Unless ke rich and I'm a housewife and I don't have to work, surely I will do everything in the house while you go and work for us and our family. Does it make sense? It
makes perfect sense to me. And like, for me, it's like, I don't believe in gender roles, because like, also I think it's another thing, it's like, I love to cook. So me, if my wife wants me to cook, I'll probably cook most of the time.
Can you cook? This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Cook up the pots like proper.
Hi man, when I've been, you once told me that you burnt.
No, I was kidding.
Because you never told me that you're joking.
I probably did burn whatever it is that I burnt there, but then I can actually cook. Like, my sister taught me to cook.
How am I supposed to buy a story?
I swear.
Because now you're leading with, I burned, but I can cook. How am I supposed to be?
I was kidding in the sense of, like, I did burn it, and it was a very funny story to tell you, but then I do know how to cook.
Are you sure?
trust.
But he played man boots, man.
See, you have to make me miss the. After messing to one of Daniels. As you do illegal, but I would do.
I saw as a pillar.
Imagine.
I'm going to go to the chicken. Kutasa zolo bola lentombi. Get chicken as 100. Asonze, guys. But anyways, we sana ni. So, obviously, the parliament has 24 months to amend this law. And the court's interim order allows couples to make surname changes administratively. Through the Department of Home Affairs without needing special permission. The court's decision was based on a challenge by two couples who faced, I'm telling you now, a background of, who came up with this? So the court's decision was based on a challenge by two couples who faced administrative hurdles when trying to change their surnames after marriage. The court found that the law unfairly discriminated against men and reinforced marital norms. So that also violates the constitutional rights to equality as well as dignity. This ruling brings South Africa's lines in line with modern values of equality and personal choice, allowing couples to make decisions about their surnames without being constrained. I personally think that this is like a great law. You know, if maybe there's men out there that want to take their wives in. It's beautiful. Gender equality.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's
I'm for it.
The world. Yeah.
I'm for it.
I just want to close off and move on to, we're not even going to dive deep into the Madlanga Commission, but then I just wanted us to talk about it before we close off the show, because that's been happening in South Africa and we are our current affairs show. So the Madlanga Commission is going on right now. A lot of things have been found out. Some crazy, crazy things have been found out. Basically, what the Madlanga Commission seeks to do is actually make sure that Lieutenant Mkhwanazi's claims are actually being proven. Are they true or are they false? So basically, which is crazy. In my research, I found that an estimated 147.9 million is going to be used over the next 6 months in order to put into place everything that's happening in the Madlanga Commission. So basically, I just want to touch over like three or two things that are very important. In everything is that one. The commission was scheduled to start hearings on 1st September, but was postponed to the reasons delays in procuring the essential ICT infrastructure and related resources necessary to secure functional operations. Department of Justice and Constitutional Development did not meet its committee procurement. They didn't have a proper location and place to actually have the commission. So basically, what's been uncovered is the disbandment of the Political Killings Task, which is titled PKTT. The then police minister, Senzo Mchondo, ordered the disbandment of the PKTT in December 2024. This was done unilaterally without consulting the National Commissioner, Ufane Masemola. So basically, the minister, the political killings task team, Kabani Kamchunu. Why does he want this to be done? Because Umchunu found out that he is actually in cahoots with who? With Uket Matlala. Uket Matlala, who is now under arrest for almost killing his ex-girlfriend. So, in everything that's been happening, you basically are seeing that there is a wormhole of troubles in South Africa, not just with one thing that's happening, because Peggy Cele has been implicated in this. Former Minister of Police Peggy Cele has been implicated in this. Crime intelligence, the boss of crime intelligence has been implicated in this. It's a whole cascade and mirage of things that happened.
Former SAPS Minister Peggy Cele. Like, can you tell me more about that?
So basically, what he's involved in is the fact that he's involved with the people that are allowed for Ija Cartel's Zenzek in Johannesburg, and he was actually benefiting from such from whatever money or profits that they were getting.
So this is still
still under investigation. This is still alleged because it's not proven, with Peggy Cele.
Okay,
you know, it's what's another thing that was uncovered, which was crazy, is that Uket Matlala was driving around Johannesburg like a police officer. He was given because of his partners and friends in the police service, he was given blue lights in his cars.
For his cars?
Imagine being a criminal and you drive around.
Sirens. That is crazy.
And he was given a license to do that. A license.
By
to
who? Mm-hmm. Who approved that?
Who else but the people who are in high positions within the police?
The SAPS.
Exactly.
No way.
I'm telling you. So it runs really deep within the police services. So you have crime fighters who are crime, basically. So really, there's no actual solutions that are being brought. So there's so many things, especially with Opran Mahosi, is alleged to know internal SAPS operations and act as a conduit between political figures and criminals networks. So Opran Mahosi is like this person who knows, who has friends in the political industry and friends in SAPS. So they have been serving as an intermediator of information,
okay.
And they've come out in this commission now. So it's really interesting to find out what is going to happen. Now, this was obviously not a full coverage of the story, and I urge listeners out there to actually go and listen for themselves what's happening there, because if we were really to dive into what's happening, we would need a whole nother hour.
A whole nother hour.
A whole nother hour.
Because, you know, this whole case is so complex. And to see two things fans, but we forget Kabilin. Hi, Kubino Kuzenindo. Plot twist, you know, there's always stuff coming up. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. And
very much.
I don't know if you've heard, you know, about the Thabo Bester case,
Netflix.
Right?
Yeah.
And you've also seen the documentary on Netflix.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't?
I'm going to binge watch it in December.
Oh my gosh, Visan, you are so late to everything.
No.
December?
Yes.
What about now? Like, you're busy.
We're busy now.
Yeah, I really hope that they make the same like documentary with this whole Mkhwanazi case.
Okay.
It would be so interesting.
Mkhwanazi for president, guys. Mkhwanazi for president, for real, for real.
And I feel like it would be also so like educational as well
for
aspiring maybe police officers, aspiring detectives. It
would
be so
that actually want to tell the truth.
Exactly. So this would be so educational for them as well.
Me, I don't want them to make a documentary. I want them to make an actual series of the
That would be so fun, or a movie at least. Settle on a movie
directed by that guy that did Finding Lerato.
You've watched Finding Lerato?
Both parts.
Oh my
gosh, Finding Lerato is like a peak South African classic.
Peak.
That guy needs to work. I hate that I'm calling him that guy.
You don't know his name.
Yeah, I forgot his name. He works. Oh, he's such a humble guy.
Is he known like in the
He used to act at Scandal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he used to act at Scandal. And
can you describe him?
He was Nyati. He was a Nyati. He was like the middle-aged siblings.
No shame. I'd be lying if I said I know him.
You do know that.
I would be lying.
He was really such... He's such a humble guy. I heard about him that even in the Finding Lerato, he paid the cleaners their minimum wage. He was paying them out of his own pocket because
Finding Lerato... The actors...
Yeah, Finding Lerato no. 1 was not as well-funded as Finding Lerato 2. Yeah, so he was... paying the actors out of his own pockets.
But I'm sure that the movie's selling quite well right
now.
Yeah. I'm happy.
Yeah. When you put in the work, you actually get your money's worth. And you
most definitely.
You actually get what it is that you deserve because the universe actually works like that, you know? So, basically, Mandla N, do you know Mandla N?
Nope, not at all.
He's behind your every little classic that you know.
For real,
Sastapla.
The name is okay. That's the name is quite familiar though.
Sastapla, and Tandeka's Diary.
Tandeka's Diary. Oh, that was a classic. Yeah, and, okay.
Recently, Sita the Enemy. You have. Do you know that show with the four women that are running away because they murdered somebody when they were at the resort?
No.
Basically.
Wait, late in London holiday.
The girls were at the holiday, and then they murdered this guy.
Yeah, when I get like meta, no.
Basically, trust if it's good, probably Mandla N. He's like has a whole production company. If he does the Netflix show of the Tabo Pesta and Nandi Pala story, it'd be beautiful. So yeah, that's basically it on my side, Akarabo. I don't know if you had anything else to say or add.
No, I think we have reached the end of our episode for this week. And it was very fun. It was very informative. It was very educational. I enjoyed every second of it. And, you know, it's good to be back as well. I missed having these conversations. I missed the banter. I missed everything. Yeah. You know, it feels good to be back.
Yeah. Ironically, it feels good to be back for you. It's probably my last show because I'm going to get cancelled.
Oh, my God. Stop making jokes like that.
Hey, guys.
Stop making jokes
like
that.
It's been fun, you know?
It's been fun, but we've come to the end of the road.
You know?
I will miss
Karama called me and I had to talk about stuff now. Hey, it's okay. It's me being cancelled now.
Don't understand, cancel Mr. Nani, guys.
Hashtag don't cancel.
Hashtag. Oh.
Yeah. You can find me on V_Instagram. The person without a picture in the icon.
That's me.
I was looking for a picture, actually.
Did you find it?
I didn't find a good picture.
Take one now.
I will not. Take a picture of me, okay?
I actually did take a picture of you.
Okay, really? Okay, that's going to be my Instagram handle, people. Follow. What's your Instagram handles and TikTok?
So on my socials, on TikTok, I am karabo.daniels. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, I am karabo_daniels. Please do follow me. Engage with your girl. Tell me what topics you would like us to talk about more. Uh-huh. Maybe the stuff that you want to hear more. So, you know, let us know, DM me, and I'll definitely respond.
Oh, yeah. And that is Madiba's Radio, The Call Out. I am Uvui Sanani Waganum Chacho, your daily dose of, you know what, but don't take me in too many doses because you might have diabetes,
Of course, it's your host of the most, Karabo Daniels, also known as KD. And thank you for Ubanati Kwategwale Klesha. We are here on The Call Out podcast, where we engage, inform, and
engage.
Okay.
Bye.
You
can't be there.
Hey, everybody. Luyolo Mkhalipi here, SABC Sports presenter. You're listening to Extra Time on Madiba's Radio.
Madiba's Radio.
What's good, Madiba's fam? Welcome to yet again another episode of Extra Time right here on Madiba's Radio podcast. My name is Sam Gelekele, and I'm not alone this morning, but I'm with the amazing Lolonga. Hi, Lolonga.
Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Actually, I was going to say great, but my smile was cut short yesterday.
Why?
That one... that one all draw Kaizer Chiefs.
I'm a Kaizer Chiefs fan. I'm not happy with it at all as well, because hey, people were coming for me, but I was like, you know what, let me just not entertain them. This is Extra Time, Raja on Madiba's Radio, where we connect, inform and engage, and as always we're bringing you all exciting sports news. Today we're kicking things off with a quick roundup of recent football action, just enough to lay the red carpet for the real story, which is the heritage, identity and culture of the South African football clubs. As you know, that it is Heritage Month, and we were celebrating Heritage Day just yesterday. How was your Heritage Day, Lolonga?
It was quite chilled, actually. Nothing much.
Was it good rest?
Yes.
Right? It's very much needed. A lot has been happening this past week in the sports world, with Ballon d'Or awards happening, Varsity Netball Final 2025, which is set to take place in Bloemfontein also this coming week. Also a lot of campus league action. I love campus league action. I love some on campus sports action. What else are we talking about this morning, Lologa?
And also tomorrow, the RSC is back. The Stormers will be taking on Leinster at the DHL Stadium, and also the Bulls, they're enjoying a home ground advantage when they take on Ospreys. Meanwhile, the Sharks and the Lions, they'll have to travel on the road.
Hectic. All right.
What team do you support?
Let me not say for now. But yeah. I support one of the greatest Durban teams.
The Sharks.
Yes. Before we even start the show, a quick nod to the 2025 Ballon d'Or, with Dembele of PSG winning the men's award, whilst Aitana Bonmati of Barcelona claimed the women's. Lamine Yamal took the Copa Trophy for the best under 21 player, and Donnarumma won the Yashin Trophy. Coaches Louis Enrique and Serena were named men's and women's coach of the year, and the clubs of the year were PSG and Arsenal respectively. A brief celebration of the global football excellence before we dive back into our local heroes. That is what happened this past week, with a lot of people very excited for Dembele taking the Ballon d'Or. I think I wouldn't say it was not expected, but I mean, it's not someone that you... He's a great player, amazing player. But I mean, I wasn't really thinking that it was going to be him. But yeah.
So you had someone else in mind?
I did.
Who did you have in mind?
I had someone else in mind. Now, diving back to Varsity Netball, how is that looking like?
It was actually very interesting. Honestly, when I watched both the matches, I didn't expect the Northwest and the UJ result, because when they released the semi-final fixtures, okay, I had my final in my mind. It was UJ and Kofsis, because this year UJ, Gauteng, they've been dominating on the netball scene.
Yeah.
Firstly, with TNL, they took gold in the first division. And also with USA, it was Kofsis and UJ. And that was a one gold difference.
Yeah, UJ did take USA's.
Yeah.
It was a very exciting moment also for them.
So I thought now this time around, they could have challenged for a third title, you see.
Yeah, so the grand final is on Monday, the 29th of September at 7 in Bloemfontein. Very excited to watch that. Very exciting.
Same. What are your predictions for that?
Yeah, it's a very hard one. What do you think? Who do you think is going to take it?
It's a hard one, but I'll say Kofsis. And for player of the tournament, they released the nominees, right?
Yeah.
So Letswalo Mupenda, Christy Marie Kutsia. It's a tough one also in that department, but I'll give it to Cornelia Mupenda.
But NWU is also quite good. So they also stand a very good chance of actually taking it.
If Kofsis can start properly, then they have a good chance.
I think so too. What do we have for the Campus League update?
Okay, so with two games left, Smart FC, currently on 34, are close to being crowned champions. However, Hlasela FC are still in the race. This weekend, Hlasela FC face Yolanda Guma for a top 5 spot, while Smart FC meet Premier City, also chasing the top spot.
Yeah, that's a very... Campus League is very much unpredictable. Mm. Like, it's very much unpredictable. But the second division promotion battle?
Mariska FC, currently on 34, FaZe FC and SSV, 30 points each.
That's
and
triple SV.
Okay, triple SV. And South Point on 29 are all in contention for promotion. Mariska FC aim to seal their spot against Steve Beagle, while FaZe 3 face Smada FC, Triple SV FC, meet My Student House, and South Point take on Omega FC, with any two still able to clinch promotion in the final two rounds. It's also, it seems very tight also in the second division.
It also seems very tight. Do remember that this is Madiba's Campus Sports League. Do check them out on the social media pages on Madiba's Campus Sports League for all the score updates and also the upcoming semifinals and finals that will be happening in October. This is going to be a very exciting, you know, finals, especially also with the rugby side. I get to spend more time with the rugby, you know, rugby side of the tournament. I wouldn't say that I'm more attached to them, but maybe I am. So I know that this past weekend it was a very tough weekend for FaZe 3. They were playing against Claude Vane, and the game was quite tough, you know, for them. Yeah. For both of them, actually, it was a very tough game. And Claude Vane won with just 1 point difference. And they tried, like, last minute of the game. The horn had already been blown, and then they just, you know, tried. And this now leaves FaZe 3 in a very compromising position. Not really, though, because they're still going to be playing, you know, the finals. Hopefully they will. Mm-hmm. I hope that they will bounce back. Now, going back to the EPL highlights, this past weekend in the Premier League, it was action-packed. Manchester United edged Chelsea 2-1 on Saturday, while Liverpool narrowly beat Everton 2-1 in the Merseyside derby. Arsenal and Manchester City played out an exciting 1-1 draw, showing why these two are still among the title favourites. In other matches, Leeds and surprised Wolves with a 3-1 victory, and Brighton and Tottenham shared the spoils at 2-2. Some thrilling football there by for sure. La Liga update. What's going on this week? Lalonga, fill us in.
Okay. The major fixtures kept the intensity high. Real Madrid continued their strong form with a 4-1 victory over Levante, highlighted by Kylian Mbappe's brace, Vinicius Junior's goals and assist, and a goal from Franco Mastantuno. Atletico Madrid edged Rayo Vallecano 3-2 yesterday with Julian Alvarez bagging a brilliant hat-trick. But the real spotlight is on this weekend. The Madrid derby is coming, and the city is ready to split in two.
Yeah, we can't wait to see that now. UEFA Champions League. The Champions League football is back in full swing. Last week, Real Madrid defeated Marseille 2-1, while Liverpool edged Atletico Madrid with 3-2. Over in Germany, Bayern Munich triumphed over Chelsea 3-1, and Manchester City comfortably beat Napoli 2-0. And for a huge London clash, Tottenham overcame 1-0. Newcastle United also lost against Barcelona with 2-1. Barcelona won away at Newcastle. Marcus Rashford scored a double. European Knights are heating up already. What do you support in the UEFA Champions League?
I support Chelsea. I was honestly disappointed with their performance.
And you also support Chelsea in the EPL as well?
Yes.
Okay, so you...
I didn't like you losing to Man United, honestly.
Yeah, no, losing to Man United is very... I don't want to say they're the worst team, but they haven't been doing...
In great form.
They haven't been in their great form. But now losing to them, I know, that's a very hard one. Remember that we are celebrating Heritage Month right here on Madiba's Radio Podcast, and as extra time we take a look at different teams and their history. And one of the teams that we are celebrating at this this show, in, or rather in this episode, is Mamelodi Sundowns Football Club, which was founded in the early 1960s as Marabastad Sundowns and re-established in Mamelodi in Pretoria in 1970, is a symbol of ambition, skill, and national pride. I think what I like about this segment is that I get to, you know, give listeners as well as myself more insights on the different clubs and how it, you know, came about. Remember last week we had KZ Chiefs, so we got really, you know, not exposed, but we got to learn more about the team and about the club and how it was formed. And you always get shocked. 1960, that's crazy. The team has been here for quite some time. Crazy enough, we are speaking about Mamelodi Sundowns and they lost against Golden Arrows just last night. But that's not where we at. The club is affectionately known as the Brazilians, a nickname inspired by their vibrant yellow and green colors and their attractive attacking style of play. I must say, Mamelodi Sundowns has got really nice colors.
Yes.
Just like Kaizer Chiefs, of course.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they very much, you know, blend nicely together. Their jerseys are amazing. They look very good.
And with regards to Sundowns, how would you say their form is lately? Is it not impressive?
Sundowns are like underdogs. So they are, you'd say Sundowns is one of the best clubs in the country.
Yeah.
You know, and they always like conquering, they always winning. So their losses are not really, I wouldn't say they are not on form. It's just maybe a matter of just losing. But they will get back to it, you know. But losing to Arrows, not undermining Golden Arrows, of course, but I mean, it's not something that one would expect.
Something that you used to.
You know, something that you may be used to. So I'm really hoping that they are not not on form and they will obviously bounce back to, you know, their loss. Now, their crest features a hand pointing upwards, symbolizing aspiration and the pursuit of greatness, complemented by the club's motto, "The sky is the limit." Their home kit is primarily bright yellow with green trim, and their playing philosophy, known as Shoe, Shine, and Piano, showcases quick, short passing and fluid movement. Under the ownership of Dr. Patrice Motsepe, Sundowns have consistently achieved excellence, winning the multiple PSL titles and the 2016 CAF Champions League. The club's culture emphasizes innovation, professionalism, and talent development, making them a beacon of South African footballing prestige. I think what I appreciate about Sundowns is their balance in their men's team and their women's team.
Yeah.
They've got a very good women's team. They've got a very good management of the ladies' team as well. I think they try to strike a balance of, you know, their men's team and their women's team. The men's team has got a very good number of players that play for the national team, just as the ladies' team. Mm. The ladies' team has got very a lot of young people. You know, a lot of young girls that also play for the national team. So a huge shout out to
What do you think of their recent signing, Santos, the number 10? Would you say it's a good decision?
It is. I think it is. We're still yet to see what he's bringing to the club. So maybe it might be too early to really judge him or to really say, maybe it was a bad decision, maybe it was not. But I really think, because honestly, they take their time, you know, in signings, and they wouldn't just sign anyone. So signing a number 10 is quite a person who plays 10. That's a very, you know, critical position in football. So we don't know. Maybe new Messi of the country. We shall see.
And the next team we'll be talking about is Chipa United, which was founded in 2010 by businessman Siviwe Chipa Mbengesi, representing the Eastern Cape's rich football heritage. What I like about the Eastern Cape, like, we're such a rugby and also soccer province.
Not really soccer, but okay.
Okay.
Not really soccer, but
okay. Okay. The club's establishment reflects a commitment to providing opportunities for local talent and fostering a strong community connection. The nickname Chili Boys captures the club's fiery spirit and determination on the field. Their colors, white and white with red accents on the color and trims, are reflected in their crest, featuring a shield with a hand and fire, symbolizing unity and strength. Chipa United's journey through South African football has been marked by resilience and ambition. Do you think they're going to do better this season in the PSL?
I'm not sure. Judging by their performance currently, we'll see though.
And they recently drew to Sekhukhune yesterday.
I remember I got a call from one of my friends in KZN and it's like, Hazard's like, good, how are you? It's like, okay, please do me a favor. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, maybe it's something very serious, you know, that he wants me to do. And I was like, what's up? It's like, please go to NMB Stadium and go check for me if Chipa United really trains. Like, what? What do you mean by that? So people really are starting to think that they don't train, you know, because of their performance. But okay, hey, we'll see. Speaking of PSL, the PSL update, the Betway Premiership saw some interesting results. Siwelele FC losing with 1-0 against Orlando Pirates. It's tight at the top and even point counts in this early season battle. Golden Arrows stunned Mamelodi Sundowns with a 1-0 victory, while Kaizer Chiefs were held to a 1-1 draw by Gallants. Stellenbosch and Durban City couldn't find the net, finishing goalless. TS Galaxy impressed with a 3-1 win over AmaZulu. Richards Bay edged past Mahesi with a narrow 1-0. And Sekhukhune United shared their spoils with Chipa United with a score of 1-1. And finally, Orbit College pulled off a surprise, beating Polokwane City 1-0. Yeah, I know. It's going to be a very interesting season. I think the current standings of the log, Kaizer Chiefs is currently sitting at number 3.
Yes, TS Galaxy is 4th on 13 points.
No.
Yeah.
Orlando Pirates is 4th now.
TS Galaxy, they beat AmaZulu 3-1 yesterday.
So now,
so they're 4th and Orlando Pirates, they're 5th now.
Oh, I thought Orlando Pirates were 4th. It's like, hey, okay, that's going to be very interesting having both the big teams in the top 5. Okay, they are currently in the top 5, but of course Kaizer Chiefs is leading. And with the CAF Champions Confederation and the South African team that are participating
on the continental stage, Orlando Pirates impressed in the CAF Champions League preliminaries with a 3-0 first leg win over Lioli, the Lesotho powerhouse, while Kaizer Chiefs lost 1-0 to Kabuskop Angola in the Confederation Cup. Early tests as SA clubs chase continental glory. I feel like with regards to that, Kaizer Chiefs, they need an answer on Saturday. No such thing as a draw. It's just a straight win. No draw, no loss, just a straight win. Like, no excuses this time around.
That is what we want. And the UEFA Champions League football is back by full swing, as we had already said. With all the games that took place this past weekend, and also La Liga update this week, the major fixtures kept the intensity high. Real Madrid continued their strong form within a 4-1 victory over Levante, highlighted Kylian Mbappe's brace and Junior's goal and assist, and a goal from Fran Cor. Atletico Madrid edged Rayo Vallecano with 3-2 yesterday, with Yuelin Alvarez bagging a brilliant hat-trick. But the real spotlight is on this weekend. The Madrid derby is coming and the city is ready to be split into two. Hey, it's going to be a very hard derby. It's giving Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs.
So with regards to La Liga, do you think it would be the same if there wasn't Barcelona and Real Madrid? Do you
I think doubt. They're like the faces of... It's like having PSL without Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs. Yeah. It's really like, you know, having PSL without those two teams. I can't really pinpoint teams that wouldn't make EPL. But maybe... Man United?
In the La Liga?
In the EPL.
EP.
Maybe it might be Manchester United and, yeah. So I really can't pinpoint that. But, yeah, I think that's all the sports action that we have for you this episode. So while we crossed the results and they gave us the game, it's heritage and identity clubs like Chippa United, Mamelodi Sundowns that really tell us a story of South African football. While speaking of telling a story, can you tell your story in like clan names? I remember I had a call with someone and they were like, yay, they were reciting my clan names, and at some point I really thought, so as we are signing out, I want you to sign out with your clan names.
Okay, so this is Lolonga, aka the Sports Queen. Umam Kuma, Umam Batane, Umam Kresibe, Unonzaba, Ukanda Nyawane.
Hey, it's really heritage, man. This is Madiba's Radio Podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. My name is Samgele Kela. I had an amazing time with you guys here. Till next week. Oh, you want me to also say my name?
Yeah.
Hey. It's Kele Ndosi Magaye. Come sing Lele Ngobmai Mulia Kashela. Oh, I've got such storytelling clan names. And that's it for this week's on Extra Time. My name is Samgele Kele. Do not forget to connect with us and on our social media pages. It is Madiba's Radio. Until next time, we cannot wait to have you. That's it. Bye.
The best youth station in the